Well, amen. What a wonderful song. Praise the Lord for that song. We love it. And thank you for singing it for us. And we appreciate that trio together tonight. Praise the Lord for that. Again, we are thankful for our nation. And we are grateful for all that God has blessed us with. And may we keep that thought through us in this time and then always as well. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. Matthew 9, verse number 35, and we're going to look and see what Christ sees, if we can, as He's teaching and going about in all the cities and villages, as the Bible says. And I want to preach to you a message entitled, Pray That He Will Send. And you'll see where the title comes from, because it's right from the Scriptures here in just a minute. Pray that He'll send. The Bible says in verse number 35 of Matthew chapter 9, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, would you look closely at verse 36 if you have your Bible opened? Matthew 9:36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. I'm thinking that I hear so many Christians say, and I want to be one that does this as well, that we want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ, preacher. I want to be like Christ, Brother John. I want to be like Christ, and I believe Him. But it seems that some of the plain, just straightforward things that Christ does, we don't seem to work on us much to follow suit. If that makes sense. What I mean by that is, we say that and we do, in theory, we want to be like Christ. But there are some very basic, simple things that Christ exhibited while He was here on this earth that it doesn't seem like I spend much time trying to imitate. Verse 36, again, with that thought in mind, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. You say, well, He just had compassion because He is who He was. And that may be true, but we're supposed to be like Him. And I'm wondering if I'm moved with compassion when I see a group of people as they walk through the busyness of maybe a downtown section, or as they're even here in Gray, as they're crisscrossing the streets and coming out of one of the drive-thrus and going over to the credit union, going over to the post office. Am I moved with compassion? But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. I'm afraid, I say I want to be like Christ, but I'm afraid oftentimes instead of trying to be like Him in this instance, all I do is I just move on to my next event. I've got to be here. I've got to meet somebody at 4. I'm supposed to, after that meeting, I'm supposed to go to see somebody else. I need to stop by a hospital in my life. You know, stop by a hospital and check on some folks and go over and pray with somebody and this. And I'm afraid even while I'm doing the Lord's business, I'm so busy, I'm not even looking at with compassion at the multitudes that I pass by. How many people were in these multitudes He was passing by? The Bible does not say. But the Bible says about Christ that He was moved with compassion. So I might question whether or not I want to be like Christ too much. I say I do, but I'm so busy going about here and there, and even in quarantine with things different, we still are going here and going there as the needed errands we need to run. Let's look on the verse. Why was He moved with compassion? As the verse says at the beginning of verse number 36, well, it gives the reason, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I'd say that as they were scattered abroad, they were sheep having no shepherd, they fainted, they had no direction. Sheep having no shepherd. A shepherd is there to lead the sheep. You've heard sermons before about the shepherd doesn't drive sheep. He leads them. And so these The analogy given is as Christ looks at the multitudes there that he's seeing as he's walking about ministering to people and doing all kinds of things, preaching the gospel and healing every sickness and every disease. And as he goes, he's overwhelmed by this thought of compassion because he looks on the multitudes and they're like sheep that are just scattered because they don't have a shepherd to lead them. And that whole analogy is given to show how lost everyone is. No direction. And I don't think it's changed in 2020. You look down at the people that are driving around in our little burg, or you drive, go to Johnson City, Bristol, Kingsport, any of the rest of them, walk around seeing people going in and out. I think that the word picture that's given here by the Word of God would still be true today. And then if you could look in the lives of people, if, as you get to know them a little bit better, as I talked this morning about being invested in the lives of people, and as you get into the lives of people, and then after you know them a little bit better, you really see they are really like shepherd or sheep that have no shepherd. Running to the next event, running to the next fad, running to the next thing that's got their attention, the next shiny object that we chase after because it caught our attention as it glimmered in the light, and then we go after that for a while, and then we leave that and we go after something else. You've ever been in the basement of some people who seem to have a project ADD? They get on one project for a while, but before long, oh, we're going over on this project, and that one didn't get stopped, that didn't get finished, but our attention's over here. And before this one get finished, oh, somebody comes up with something else, and we go over to that one. So now that one's unfinished, and that one's unfinished, and you can chronicle their life by what they were involved in that year, and the next year, and the next. And you see that it seems like we just don't have much direction. And Jesus is moved with compassion because these people didn't have much direction. But folks, we see it now. As we move on, I want to get to you. The Bible says that he, as sheep having no shepherds, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Bible says about Christ that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He had a mission. And his mission was to, of course, come to the cross. And his mission, though, was to seek and give salvation to those that were lost. Those people that are lost, they have no direction. If you had a direction, you wouldn't be lost. And so there's so many parallels here that the people are lost without direction are the ones that don't have a shepherd, and the ones that don't have a shepherd in the analogy that Christ gives are the people that he's got moved with compassion. And so the Savior is moved with compassion over people who are lost. And tonight, if God would help me, I want to preach for just a little while about that need. Pray that he will send. Jesus tells his disciples, pray ye therefore. Therefore, because of all of the happenings that just went forth, that he will send forth laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers. Let's pray together. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Would you help us now as we look into your word, dear Lord? I pray that you would help us be more like the dear Son of God, your dear Son. Lord, we need your help. Please, and bless us now, we ask. Amen. We've driven around Gray a lot, even in looking for different places and trying to get our bearings of where it is, in Johnson City and Kingsport around. And I'm thinking tonight of if we could put ourselves in this walk with Jesus. Jesus was walking around where he went, and his disciples were with him, and they'd been with him in all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and going about. And I'm wondering what the disciples saw as Jesus was seeing these things that were just so moving him with compassion. Were the disciples like they were when he saw somebody in need and they tried to push the lady in need away from him? Were the disciples in that time like they were when the children tried to come up to Jesus and they said, keep him away, the master didn't have time. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Were the disciples seeing what Jesus saw when he was moved with compassion? If their history or their track record proves true, they were not. But I'm talking not about the disciples, I'm talking about us tonight. If we could walk with Christ for a little while and we say we want to be like Christ, and I do as well. I've got to ask you a candid question. Do you and I, do you look at your communities and your neighborhood that you drive through and wonder, how could we get the message of Jesus to them? You don't have to answer, so you can be honest to yourself. Have those thoughts crossed your mind when you drive down your road? While you drive down your streets, if you live in a subdivision, you slow down because kids are on their bicycles and it's fun and it's enjoyable. You say, well, isn't this nice? Or kids are out playing basketball, or they're doing this, that, or the other, or people out grilling, and or maybe you live out in the country and you see some of your friend, your neighbors that are here, then you're on. But I know you have good thoughts about them. I trust you do. But do you ever drive through those areas and ask yourself this question, how could we reach them with the gospel? Are we ever moved with compassion? Oh, I know we're moved with annoyance. If you live real close and their stuff's over in your yard sometimes, well, your kid left his bike over in my yard again. And I know we get annoyed, but that's not what the Savior said. That's not what the Word of God says, that He was moved with compassion. He wasn't moved with annoyance. He wasn't moved with frustration. He wasn't moved with thinking, well, if these people would just move on out of the way so I can get on to work. I'm wondering about that. Do you ever go through your neighborhood and let the Lord break your heart, move you with compassion? We want to be like Christ. Well, Christ was behaving Himself in this fashion. He was moved with compassion when He saw the people who were without a shepherd, who were lost. And that means in this, we can say right now that that would equate to the people who are lost and undone in their sin, without a shepherd. They're going nowhere except to a devil's hell. Are we moved with compassion when we see people who are in such a way that they're just like sheep with no shepherd running around? I want you to look at a couple things. I see, number one, the situation. The situation is, as we said in verse number 36, He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad. I think about a mother, if she was walking into the house of the parents were away, and somehow they didn't take good care of the things, and the parents were away, and the kids were there by themselves. There was 3-day old food on the counter there, and bowls that hadn't been cleaned up. There was a toddler left with a soiled diaper by themselves, and there was filth everywhere. You as a mother, if you are a mother, you would walk in there heartbroken and say, "We've got to get this place cleaned up, whether you felt like it or not. We've got to get these babies taken care of, and we've got to get these dishes cleaned up so it's not filth in here, so they can eat in a sanitary condition. We've got to get this situated around so these babies can live in an acceptable condition." You'd be heartbroken. You'd feel the need to clean the baby. You'd sanitize surfaces. You'd get clean clothes so they could look decent and feel good. But you understand that all the nice houses that you pass going to your subdivision, they may not be living in those conditions, and I doubt they are. But spiritually, if they're without Christ, their condition is a lot worse than what I just described to you. Oh, they may be spick and span, cleaner than anyone's house around, but if they don't know Christ, they're in far worse condition than a ghetto house somewhere in an inner city that we would not care to go visit. My friend, that situation was in this day that there were people just lost everywhere, scattered. And in 2020, even if they live in $400,000 houses, there are people lost and scattered, and they're like sheep with no shepherd. They don't have any direction. I was talking with somebody the other day in a business, and they were talking about how the mess that our homes were in and how everybody was just going to pot, basically, and it's just, wow, just going downhill fast. And I thought this person was a believer, and I said, the truth of the matter is, we have the truth of the matter. This fellow Christian, as I was talking to him, I told him the sad fact is, the Word of God that we believe, say Jesus Christ is a Savior, that's what these homes need. You know that, and I know that, but somehow we sit here and allow it to be good for our families, but we haven't been brokenhearted over the families that don't have the truth of Jesus Christ. So the situation is Christ was moved with compassion. And again, I ask you, have you been moved with compassion as you drive through your neighborhood, as we drive through Gray, as we drive through Johnson City, as you drive through Kingsport or Bristol, wherever your normal mode of travel is in your course of travel? Do we drive through those areas and say, look at this? Are we moved with compassion? We say we want to be like Christ. Well, the way Christ was as he looked at a group, he said, compassion that he weeps for them. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the Bible says that Jesus pronounced, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks. I see the situation, but the tragedy is given in verse number 37, as we see that he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse number 37 shows the disparity between the field and the workers. The situation is sad, but the tragedy is not found till verse number 37. The situation is sad in verse number 36 because there are people there that are like sheep with no shepherd. They have no direction. They're lost and they're going everywhere. That's sad. But the tragedy itself is not found until the next verse, because the tragedy is that the sadness can't be met because there's not enough workers in the field to get the crop out of the field. The field is there, as the scripture says, as it says on down there, that the field is plentiful, but the tragedy is not brought until verse number 37. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You don't have to admit you're an old timer if you're watching tonight, but do you remember, if you were here back when, years ago, when Brother Lastly brought in the idea of the bus ministry to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Of course, I wasn't here, and the folks here with me probably weren't either. Somehow, and it was a popular thing in our kinds of churches, but somehow Preacher Lastly showed the need to the people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that there are areas out here that we could reach into with the gospel if only we would go get them and bring them into Sunday school and bring them into junior churches and preach to them. He was used of God to show you the need, because there was lost souls everywhere, and that's why we got involved in the bus ministry. In our kinds of churches, and I say our kinds meaning Bible-believing churches, they, in the 60s and 70s, people were leaving their jobs and they were going to the mission field around the world to preach the gospel. Some of them going under-supported or unsupported, just went to wherever they could to go preach the gospel. And then many of us in churches that did not feel that call, we thought, well, we can't go to the mission field because God doesn't want us to go there. But there are some mission fields around Kingsport. There are some mission fields around Johnson City, or there are some mission fields around Smyrna and Murfreesboro. There are some mission fields around here. And so I'm not going to go to the foreign field, but I can still get on a bus and be a missionary right here. Or I can still, if you go get them, I'll teach them when they come into my Sunday school class, and I'll go follow up and we'll see the mission field right here. Can I tell you, there's still many more in the harvest than there are on the labor force? Jesus, as he said those that day, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The tragedy has not lessened. Oh, we've had some good runs in church history from time to time. We aren't necessarily on a great one right now, maybe. But we've had some good runs in church history, but the tragedy still holds true in verse number 37 when he said that the harvest is plenteous. There's plenty there, but the laborers are few. It happens from time to time that somebody will call and they'll say, hey, preacher, do you know somebody who needs a job? I mean, somebody's hard worker in this, and then somebody inside or outside the church will call. And oftentimes I have to say, you know, I don't know of anybody right now. Maybe I'll know somebody, but I won't know of anybody that would fit that bill, or maybe not certain of their hard work ethic or whatnot. And sometimes I can't. But you know something even sadder? There are people who come and they say, preacher, I'd like to do something. But I know from other comments and conversations I've had with them that what they don't mean is to get on an old bus or to take an empty Sunday school class and try to fill it up, or to preach in a junior church setting where the kids might be unruly or whatnot. Sadder thing is that there are buses that sit out here. Of course, right now they're all sitting. but they sit every Sunday that could be used to bring people to hear the gospel. You say, is everybody supposed to be in the bus ministry? No. But I believe there's more people supposed to be in it than we have in it. Because it's a great way to get people in to the house of God to hear the gospel. I asked before at the beginning, have you ever gone through your area and just wondered how they could be reached with the gospel? Every area is not, the bus ministry may not be the answer, but there's an answer. Every area, the answer is the gospel, and we just have to figure out how to get the problem, if you will, and the problem being those scattered as sheep with having no shepherd. We've got to figure out how to get the problem connected to the solution. But the tragedy is still true today that there's still a plenteous harvest, but there's a small workforce. Much needs done, but little to do it. And I want you to see lastly, verse number 38, the supplication that's given. Jesus says, because of all these things, pray ye therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore, it's because of verse number 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few, because he was moved with compassion. Verse number 36, and he says in verse number 38, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We're not Jesus, none of us are Jesus, none of us are the apostles, but we can listen to the command of the Savior. Jesus tells the apostles right there, the disciples right there, he says, listen, here's the answer, pray the Lord of the harvest. You know what preachers do a lot of? Well, they do a lot of hollering sometimes, but they also do a lot of complaining, when instead they ought to do a lot of praying. Are we praying for our Jerusalem? Your little area where you live, your little burg of the world, I know your family, you're giving the gospel. Praise God for that. But our Jerusalem, are we working in a way to get the gospel? You say, I don't know what the church is doing. I'm not talking about the church right now. Are you? Am I? Are we praying for our Jerusalem? How do we look at our subdivision, our neighborhood? Larry Brown, who was my pastor for some years, often use this phrase. He says, I'm going to shut you up with God. He didn't mean that word shut up. He meant close you up, hedge you up. If something was going on with one of his children, something was going on in the church, some situation was happening that was potentially bad, he said, I'm going to shut that up to God. Meaning I'm going to box it in. And I'm just going to keep bombarding heaven and asking God to work and work and work. And I'm just going to try to pray a hedge all the way around it. God, please work here and do this and do the other. And he said, I'm going to shut them up to God. What if we boxed our community in? What if we, as a pastor, boxed our area and said, Lord, we've got to get this in. Show us. I believe the Lord would show us. What if we boxed up our young people in our church and the young people that are associated with our church, that they might be laborers? Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, what's our problem? Is our problem no money? I believe we're okay on that. We've got money to put gas, diesel in the buses. We've got money to buy curriculum. We've got money to keep lights on. We've got those things. Praise the Lord for that. Is it the fact we don't have buses? No, we've got plenty of those. Is it just that our area is so rich that we don't have anybody that needs the gospel? Well, that's not true. I would submit to you that it's just the same as it was in the scriptures here. That the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You see, I'm just a big believer that the answer for the problems that your neighbors and my neighbors have is Jesus Christ in the precious book that I'm holding. Do you think it would work? You think what would work? You say, preacher, would what work? Well, if a father, regardless of what he's done up till now or how many marriages he's had, a mother, even whether she's married or not right now to the man she's with, if each of them honestly sought the Lord, saved now because of the gospel of Christ, and did what this book says they should do in their lives, would it work for them? Do you believe it would work? Or do you believe there's some people who are so far gone that Even that can't help them. Now, I know what you're going to do. You're going to say, well, yes, as a point of technicality, yes, God, no cases past God's help. But practically, do you believe it would work? I believe God could move in on any situation. And I believe we could see a miracle happen in every family that would give themselves to the Lord. I'd love to see some more success stories of people who were making a mess of their lives. Yet they came to Christ and got saved. And listen, church, they're going to bring all the baggage that you can ever imagine when they come. Because if we're going to be a Bible-centered church, all the pretty people aren't coming. We're going to have some of them, yes, but we're going to have all the ones that come with all the baggage that they've picked up in this world. And that's going to call upon you to have patience. But I'm a believer that Christ is the answer. He's not the answer only for the couple that's in their marriage, the two mom, dad that are married, and they have 2 to 2.2 kids, and everything is pretty well normal for them. That they don't have any blatant sins, there's nothing on their criminal record, and they don't have any warrants outstanding. I believe he'll work for those, but not only for those. He'll work for the ones that you may have to help some with some community service, have to provide transportation because their rights have been revoked to drive because of some activities they were involved in. I believe he'll work, Jesus Christ will work for that situation as well. So, do you think it would work? I believe it would. I started off by asking you to do something, or asking you if you did something. And that would be if you've ever been moved with compassion over an area. I believe our church wants to be Christ-like. You know, that's what Christian means, little Christ walking around. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And I believe that our church is full of Christians. And I believe you do want to be like Christ. Well, I've just given you an exercise that would allow you to prove that you want to be like Christ over this next week. The areas that you frequent, I'm asking you to look at people in a totally different way. I'm asking you to look at them in the way that Jesus did, as sheep having no shepherd. And I'm asking you to be moved with compassion on the multitudes that he saw because they were faint. They were fainted. And my friend, if you don't see that the people in our society right now about near fainted, then I believe you're just not looking well enough. So do we want to be like Christ? The question I ask you is this. Do you look at your communities and their neighborhood as you drive through and wonder, how do we reach them? Because I believe we've kind of got blinders on that we see what we want to see. We just drive in, drive out. A preacher gets up and says, we need to reach the world. You say, I'm for it. Without making the connection between that and the fact that if we're going to reach them, that means me. And so I don't have all the answers, but I'm asking the question, if you would commit yourself tonight to start looking at society different, start looking at our areas different, start looking at your neighborhood, your communities different, and as you look at them, would you look at them through the eyes that Christ would have had as he looked and he saw those people, and you see boys and girls running everywhere, and you see people going as hard as they can go in their life, they have no direction. Listen, folks, if we've got a family and we're not getting up on a regular basis and looking to Christ and seeing how I'm supposed to live my life, we don't have direction. And I can promise you there's more people on your street or in your community without than with. And I believe what they need is for a group of people to start looking through the eyes of Christ and have compassion once again. Would you bow your heads together as you're at your house? And as we pray, would you pray? Only if you mean it. But would you tell the Lord some that you'd like to have some compassion like Him? You say, preacher, you didn't tell us what the answer is. Well, the answer is, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. The situation is that they were having no shepherd. The tragedy is there weren't enough workers to get the job done. But the solution, the supplication that Christ gave was, pray the Lord of the harvest. As our piano player begins to play, and as you're listening, watching there, I ask you a very straightforward question. Do you look at your communities and neighborhoods and wonder, how do we reach them? And if you have to answer no, quietly and privately to you and God, would you confess that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Here I've been living in this community, and my thoughts haven't gone to, how can I reach them with the gospel? You say, yeah, the church ought to be reaching my community. Yeah, we put a missionary right there, you. Pray that He will send workers into the harvest. We've got so much to do, so little time, but so much to do. If you need somebody to pray with you, our phone number is 477-3311. 477-3311. Or maybe you'd like to email a prayer request or some prayer help needed to prayer@brbc.us. BRBC for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, but prayer@brbc.us. Would you call if you need some prayer help tonight? Maybe you're here tonight, watching tonight, and you'd like to tell the Lord what's on your heart. Lord, forgive me. I've not been looking through the eyes of compassion. I claim to be wanting to be like Christ. But I haven't looked at my community in the eyes of compassion. But I'm talking to some people that have looked at that way. You say, preacher, I'm with you. Oh, we need it. What do we do? I'm glad you ask. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. So if you've been looking at those eyes of compassion, or if you're starting, then my next question is, would you pray the Lord of the harvest? They might send forth laborers into His harvest. One last and final question, if you're watching tonight. Maybe you tuned in, you're not a member of Buffalo Ridge, you're not an attender, but God just seemed to kind of direct you and you found us. Thank you. You're not sure you're saved though tonight. There's a hunger and a burning in your soul. You're empty. Jesus Christ came to be your Savior, died on the cross for your sins so that you wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell, but instead you'd go to heaven. If you're watching tonight and you're not saved, would you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone? Ask Him for forgiveness of your sins and ask Him to save you. That's a matter between you and God. Would you please ask Him to be your Savior? If you need help, our phone number is 477. If you're out of state, 423 is our area code, 477-3311. 423-477-3311. Pray and ask the Lord to be your Savior. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we've got our work cut out for us. Jesus was moved with compassion over the multitudes that were lost. As sheep having no shepherd, they were scattered abroad. And I don't know of a better description than the world that I'm looking at out here. You'd think we'd have gotten a few more laborers by now, but still the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers truly are few. Would you pray the Lord of the harvest? Father, please send us laborers Lord, we need bus workers. We need Sunday school teachers. We need just canvassers, door knockers to go out, take our areas, dear Lord, and do it with compassion and love and concern and care. Lord, we need your help. We need you to work. Would you please, I pray. Bless us, dear Father, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And as you celebrate tomorrow, be careful. Please enjoy family. If you've got the day off, enjoy family and grilling and all that goes on. God bless you and all of that. But again, as I mentioned, let's be thankful for what God has blessed us with in this nation. And then as we roll on into the rest of the week, don't forget that on Tuesday, the funeral service for Miss Judy Matney will be here at the church, visitation from 11 to 1, and then that service at 1 o'clock. The graveside's at 3 at East Lawn Memorial Park in Kingsport. And then on Wednesday, for Miss Marilyn Goodman, the service will, well, visitation from 11 to 1 on Wednesday at the Morris Baker Funeral Home. And then the funeral is right at 1, and that graveside is at 11, or is at 3 as well, at the Washington County Memorial Garden. So we want to be a blessing to these families and challenge you, church family, to rally around one another. If you aren't able to come, maybe you send a card, give a call, and just please be loving up on these folks. And then Wednesday night, we'll be back here in the auditorium, and we want to see you here. And this will be the first Wednesday night service since March 18th. Can you believe it? And so March 18th up until now, I haven't asked you to be at one Wednesday night service, but I'm asking you to be this Wednesday night. And we'll have a wonderful time in God's Word, a wonderful time in prayer. Lee Robertson used to say, prayer meetings, Wednesday nights, the power service of the week. Power service of the week. And so we praise the Lord for Wednesday night prayer meeting. We'll see you then. God bless you. If there's something that our church can do for you, give us a call, 423-477-3311. Thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow.